Welcome to the Women and Wealth Podcast with Esther Szabo. Esther is a respected leader in the field of personal financial advice with over 25 years of experience. After going through her own significant and challenging life-changing events, she overcame fear and self-doubt to launch her own successful advisory firm. Now Esther is ready to share her practical and personal experiences to help other women clear their hurdles and brave life's transitions. In this way, she inspires women to lead fulfilling and confident lives.
Hello and welcome to Women in Wealth with Esther Szabo from Gates Pass Advisors. Today, she has a special guest, and that's Karen D. Sparks. She is a CDFA and a JD and is the principal and owner of Divorce Financial Strategists. She provides her clients with professional services as a trained and certified neutral financial expert with a unique blend of expertise in family law and the allocation of marital assets. Her engagements typically address how to navigate such critical areas as child and spousal support, allocation and retirement benefits, investments, executive compensation, social security, and real estate. She has been a retained expert and trial expert witness in the area of marital standard of living analysis, and investment and retirement account valuation and allocation. She is a frequent speaker on divorce financial topics and is the co-author of The Stress-Free Divorce, Volume 1, published in April of 2017. Good morning, ladies. How are you?
Good morning. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Esther. How are you?
Oh, we're doing really well. I'm just so excited to continue on. I can't wait to move forward. I'm just very excited this morning.
Yeah, absolutely. Karen, that is a huge amount of things that you're involved in and accomplishments that you've had. You are one busy person.
Indeed, I am. But it's a good busy. Just being able to service people in this space is truly a blessing. And I enjoy everything that I do
awesome.
In this work.
That's fantastic. Esther, you brought her on as a guest. Why'd you bring her on today?
Well, I get calls periodically over the years because people say, well, you work with women in transition, divorce is transition. And I get women calling me saying, I'm thinking of getting divorced. What should I do? And that is not a space where I help people. I help women on the other side once the divorce is settled because there are so many very serious ramifications of considering divorce. And so having Karen, who's an expert in this part of planning for divorce, is really critical to have her as a referral partner. And so, Karen, I wanted to ask you, what is a certified divorce financial analyst?
Yeah, that's a fair question. And believe it or not, I get it a lot in the regular course of work. And so a certified divorce financial analyst is someone who is specifically trained in all the nuances involved in the allocation of marital finances when couples are considering divorce. And as Eric said in my intro, that includes and can include a number of areas. But basically, what we're doing is really sitting down with families. What I'm doing as a CDFA is really sitting down with families and really taking them through step by step the analysis, the allocation, the projections, all of the educational information that they need to know. I think one of the bylaw phrases that I've come up with in my practice over the years, and I will have been in practice 10 years next year, is that education is key. If families are walking away from engagements with me and have a question mark over their head, I actually have not done my work. So I'm very, very focused in making sure that my families are affirmed, they understand it, and they can then move forward to this next incarnation of life, knowing that the best decisions under the circumstances have been made with their assets and with support and all of the other things that are important there.
So you're the person that when somebody says, I'm thinking of becoming divorced, they come to you.
Yes. I get referrals from other colleagues that I've worked with in the past. And I also simply receive calls from clients seeking this kind of work. And I do a lot of that pre-work, believe it or not, Esther. I have a lot of clients coming to me thinking about this journey, not having taken any action on it, but thinking about this journey. And I do quite a bit of consultation, sort of pre-decision, if you will, on what it is that they need to look out for, what are the things that are going to affect their specific situation. Sometimes they do go ahead and make that decision and agree to work with me. Sometimes I don't ever see them again, but I know that I have set them out on a course of where they have that knowledge and they know what it is that could possibly happen in the event they're unable to work through the relationship issues that they're dealing with.
So let's talk about that a little bit more because that's so critical. The decision to divorce has so many ramifications. What are some of the things that you talk about in that consideration phase that you bring up and address?
So we start with, first of all, where are they sitting financially right now? What is the income structure that's happening within the family? So I start there because that has a lot to do with a lot of the other decisions that are going to be made. I discuss how that's going to look in divorce in terms of what the responsibilities will be. We then talk about what other assets they may have, real estate, talk about that. What are some of the ideas that they would be considering in terms of how that asset or assets, if they have more than one, is going to be handled and what is their thought process in it? We talk a little bit about, are there any investments? Are there retirement vehicles in place? Do we have 529 plans or some other savings in place if you have teenage children who are on deck to attend university or some post high school education situation? And so what I do is I ask them to come in with some documentation if they have it available so that I can review that in meeting and I can high level what I see. And from that, we're able to kind of work through some preliminary numbers, you know, not something that they hold on to, but just preliminary numbers. And people have found this to be very, very beneficial. They walk away going, okay, wow, there were some things I didn't know. I did know this, but I didn't know it was going to be like that. And so from that point of view, they're able to make a more informed decision about a very, very serious situation, which is ending a marriage. That's huge. And I want people to be able to journey through that a little bit better than they have in the past. And so that's a lot of what I do in that space.
Do you find that, does the woman come in on her own? Well, I guess she does. Or does a woman come in by herself for that meeting? One question. And then with that, does she always have access to all the information?
So there you go. So my contact basis comes in a number of ways. Sometimes the wife will call me. Sometimes the husband will call me. I would say from a percentage point of view, wives call me more in an informal survey that I've done myself. If that's the case, one of the things that I ask almost immediately after I find out a little bit about their story is, where is the documentation? Who has it? Who has access to it? And if we were going to set up a meeting, what is it that you're going to be able to bring? Because I make it very, very clear when they're calling that a lot of what needs to be done is going to be based on either electronic information, paper information that you may have, et cetera. So I get that out of the way first. Sometimes the call will come in like, oh my goodness, you know, he handles most of the finances. I don't have access to everything. And at which point I will say, bring what you have or bring what you have access to. And we will try to work with that at least initially. But letting them know that whether they're working with me as a professional or anyone else, we are going to have to solve the document issue because we're going to need to have access to that if they move forward with the divorce discussion. So that's basically how I normally do it.
Right. And that is one of the reasons that I don't do this type of work in my practice, this part of pre-work and planning work, is that there's also the state laws. Mm-hmm. There's what is required. It's really important that it is actually, obviously the financial decision is critical, but having it align legally. What is your background to have that knowledge about the legal requirements in this? And we're in the state of California.
Well, I'm just very fortunate that professionally I'm able to work as a certified divorce financial analyst, and I'm also able to utilize my law school education because I do have my Juris Doctorate. I do not practice law in California, any other state in the United States. But what this has done, Esther, which is very, very cool, it allows me to give my clients a window on the expectation. I know what's happening on the other side of this process, which is the court side of this process. A lot of times there'll be statements made or emotional based decisions, and I can let clients know how that's going to affect their journey, their divorce journey, either from a financial point of view or an outcome point of view, and try to give them what that's going to look like as an alternative. I'm not going to make the decision for them, but I'm going to say, well, if this is a path that you're thinking about taking, these are some of the things that are going to impact that path. These are some of the things that you need to be prepared for. These are some of the things that could change some of the discussions that we're having based on what you do. So I have found it very valuable to be able to be in that space with my clients. And I think that they feel comfortable knowing that I'm in that space, knowing that I can't provide that legal advice, but I can provide that overview to let them know where they'd be sitting. And that's, it's really important.
It is really important. It's again, one of the main reasons that I don't do it, because I can look at information, financial information, understand it, review it, say, okay, there'd be this amount of cash flow from this, this amount of cash flow from that.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I don't know how a judge is going to look at it, and it could all be for naught. Can you tell us a bit more about, you know, just an example of a woman that you have helped? What problems have you given? I know you enlighten women a lot. What have you been able to provide through this work that otherwise they would have missed if they had just gone forward without your guidance?
Well, I'm thinking of one individual in particular, and I'm going to kind of use her story to answer your question. So she came to me, and I'm currently working with her now, but she came to me after, it's been a significant marriage. I think they've been married at least 20 years, is my recollection. And it's been a situation that's been going for some time, and she just felt like she can't continue. She was very, very concerned about where that would leave her financially, because he is the higher wage earner. They both work, but he's a higher wage earner. They have a son entering college in September that they're needing to transition through. Lot of issues. And she just didn't know what to do. She was coming to me pretty open-ended. So here's what I do. What I do is I start at the beginning in that type of situation, and we establish the budget. Esther, believe it or not, we become very comfortable in marriage. And so we do a day-to-day, but we don't do a day-to-day. So a lot of times you're not even clear what you're spending money on and how much you're spending it on a monthly basis, right?
Yes, I am familiar with this with my clients as well.
Right. So you know what I'm talking about.
I do.
You know, it's always a grounding force for me to start with them saying, we're going to start the budget. We're going to start talking about that. What is the budget now? What is the budget going to look like post-divorce? Because you have to start from there and move forward. A lot of times, both men or women will come to me and say, well, you know, I'm thinking about moving out. I'm going to get an apartment. I'm like, all right, hold on. What is it that's going to allow you to do that? So in this particular case, we took a very, very strategic plan. I am all about the plan. And my clients know that. The end result is based upon the quality of your plan. And if you don't have a plan moving forward, it's not going to work. So part of my plan is starting there with budget. Let's work through that. All of a sudden, you know, she was starting to get clarity. She was like, oh, okay. I said, now let's look at point number two. You know, what are you going to do with this? How much are you spending on this? How much is it there? And I just take them through a very tight schematic to where they get to the point where she is now, where she is owning her situation. She understands what it's going to take. I start talking about the cause and effect of post-divorce living. Okay? What are your carrying costs on this? It's not that you're going to do this. What are the carrying costs that are connected with doing that? And where are those resources coming?
And what do you mean by carrying costs?
So let's talk about this. So in her particular case, she doesn't actually feel that she'll be able to remain in the residence, and I don't actually recommend this as well, during the divorce process. She said to me what I was thinking probably trying to get an apartment and, you know, moving into that. My boys are older, so, you know, I'm okay. And so I said to her, all right, well, yearly, what does that look like? How much money are you going to need in order to make that happen and to cover all your expenses or whatever those expenses look like?
And that's after tax, right?
And that's after tax. That's exactly right. It's after tax. And so that's just one example. And so she was like, oh, I said, you have to think about that. You can't enter into a lease situation and not know what your obligation is. And again, it's almost like financial retraining, Esther, because mm-hmm. you're coming out of a very collaborative, trust-filled relationship. And now you're starting almost all over. You're going mm-hmm. back 20, 30 years mm-hmm. and on your own and trying to do it. And so it's almost like retraining. Mm-hmm. You have to reboot financially. Mm-hmm. And so I've taken her through several modalities now She now feels more in control of her situation. She feels more in control of the discussion that is yet to come about the divorce, because she feels that she can handle that discussion now and is not talking about things that don't have an answer.
So they have not yet discussed divorce?
They have not. Mm. They have not. Mm-hmm. She's working with me in advance of that. Mm-hmm. And she wants to be ready. Mm. I said, there is no need. When she first came to me, she said, well, should we just both come in now? I said, no. And the reason why I said that is because you don't want to talk about things in meeting that have no value. All right. You need to know, are you going to be able to buy him out of the residence? Can he buy you out of the residence? When we sit down, we want to have focused discussion that moves towards a point and not talk about things that are not investigated. So in her pre-time with me, her pre-divorce consultation time with me, we've gone through all of these things.
And how long did that take?
So we've had, in this particular situation, her financial situation was not particularly complex. So I think we've had about 3 or 4 meetings at this point. Mm-hmm. And she's had homework from those meetings that she's had to do. And she's come back and has done a good job. I told her that the other day. very proud of her. So that's just, Esther, some examples of some of the pre-work, some of the things that I answer for women and men coming through this, and how I like to make sure that individuals are on top of what they need to be in this financial discussion.
Yeah, and it's really true what you're saying, that one does lose track of how much we're actually spending to live. What does it cost to maintain the house? What would it cost to maintain a second home, a separate home?
Exactly.
And all the expenses related to that. So it sounds like you really bring a lot of clarity. There can be certainly the emotional feeling of, I just want out mm-hmm. of this living situation with this person. I'm done. And then you're filling in, okay, let's look more strategically and seriously about what actually that entails in dollars and cents, so one can make a much more informed decision about whether to move forward enough and how that will impact them moving forward.
And a good example of that is I worked with an individual at the end of last year, in the fall of last year. She and her husband were considering mediation as an option. And the mediation hadn't started yet. And that's another piece of work that I can discuss in just a moment. But mm-hmm. she came to me because she said, I don't know how to have these conversations with the mediator. I'm not sure what I'm doing. And when you said, you know, we don't know what we're spending. All right. They have a daughter who was involved in a particular sport. And it was an expensive sport. And in going through the income and expense sheet that I had her fill out, I said, do you see all these line items for your daughter? That, you know, that you guys are, have you paid attention to this mm-hmm. in terms of what it needs to support that sport? And she was very, very good at it, but there was a lot that she needed. And she said, ooh, wow. Okay. I knew we were spending a lot of money on that, but you know, I didn't. And that was just one aspect of the situation, but she was ready for mediation because again, I took her through the plan. What is happening with support? What's happening with the house? What's happening with your daughter? They only had one child. What's happening with the daughter? And the various things that kind of apply to their situation. So no, we're not always on top of it. And in divorce, that's a dangerous place to be because you don't know what's happening.
Yeah. And it's a more vulnerable place. It's very vulnerable to be considering making this change, as much as it might feel empowering to give oneself that option to even consider it. The flip side is it can feel really vulnerable, right?
It can. And part of that vulnerability is fused by something that makes all of our life better, which is technology. And the, as I've come to call it, the university of the internet is great. And a lot of people are getting degrees in that, and that's great. but where you are with that is sometimes that information can even make you more vulnerable because you're not sure, does it apply to me? Then you deal with that other layer of friends, family, colleagues mm-hmm. who are coming from a good place, mm-hmm. but again, may not be empowering you with what you need. And so that vulnerability is something that I read into and I lean into because I want to try to get that in check and make sure that they're dealing with the appropriate information for their situation that will help them journey into their next incarnation as a single woman post-divorce. So.
Right. So what you're talking about is people go, well, I'm thinking of getting divorced, and they go online and they take a look and say, well, what does divorce mean mm-hmm. in the state of California? What will I need to do? Or getting ideas from friends who have been through it, or saying, yeah, you can do this, no problem, or don't do it. It's going to be terrible for whatever. All involved, exactly. Whatever it is, so that they can come to you and get more grounded information and data specific
Absolutely.
To them.
And I take in what they tell me, because a lot of times they're always coming in, like you said, having looked at, and a lot of good information is out there. Let me say mm-hmm. that. There's a lot of good overview information mm-hmm. that folk can get. Mm-hmm. And what you need to do is take that to a professional and refine it and make sure that it applies to your situation, that it's applicable, that it's meaningful, that it's educational. That's what I want to encourage people to do mm-hmm. to make sure that that's correct.
So Karen, we've talked a lot about, there's a lot of information. It's been great to hear about all the different things that you do with your clients who are considering divorce. We actually yet haven't even talked too much about when they bring in their spouse and they're going through that. Mm-hmm. So I want to ask you about that real quick before we move on. So we've talked about someone considering divorce. What about those who are where the cat's out of the bag, so mm-hmm. to speak? Do you meet with couples together?
Yes, I do. So there are a couple things that happen there. I'm frequently seeing husband and wife coming in to see me together. I'm seeing an uptick in that. I've also worked just separately with husband or with wife. And that also depends on what other professionals are involved. So there's mediators involved, attorneys involved, and whatnot. But let me talk about the couple situation, because I think folk want to understand how that would actually work and what my role would be. So I'm a neutral financial. Money is neutral. I'm not taking a side. So what I basically do once husband or wife comes into the process, what I do is I determine what the priorities are. And I do ask that question. We start out our meeting with that. I want to create a safe place and a place of trust so that we can have some sometimes very tough conversations. And what I do is I go through my business model of how we're going to come through it based on what I understand their finances to be. I encourage questions as we come through. We oftentimes have homework that needs to be done by one party or the other. And then we begin to set out the frequency of our meetings, the content of our meetings, and we take it from there. Communications are team-based. Everything is transparent. We don't have sidebar conferences unless there's something I specifically need from that spouse. So in my work with couples, I find it to be a very convivial. It can be. It will start out, of course, with its emotion. But as we work through and people are beginning to get educated and feeling like it is a safe place where they can get this done, that's what we do. And I have Karen's rules of order. So we have respect in my meetings. Oh, absolutely. We have respect right in our meetings and we move forward in an appropriate fashion with our conversation and not in a way that disrespects anyone in the room. But we respect the financial process and I'm very pleased to say that the many families that I've helped in almost 10 years have appreciated that at the end of the day. And can I tell this quick story really
Absolutely.
Quick?
Absolutely. I'd love it.
All right. So 3 years ago, a family came to me already cat out of the bag, as you said, Esther. you know, she was referred to me by someone she knew in another organization. Immediately, first meeting, so much tension there. Okay. It just, you could cut it with a knife. So went into it, eventually worked through it. The husband was hesitant at first, met with him separately to allay his fears. They came in together. So fast forward about, I don't know, 6 months or so after I had finished working with them, their daughter and my daughter were attending the same university. My daughter just graduated, but I was on a flight coming back from parent weekend. And, you know, I took my seat and whatnot. And then I had to get up to get something out of the overhead, something. All right. And I heard a man, yelling my name. And I'm like, who knows I'm on this flight? Wait, what is going on? You know, I'm just like, what? And I look, and everybody else in the plane is like looking back like, okay, what's up with this? You know, so it was the husband who was waving and yelling and saying, hey, you know, how are you doing? That couple came in with so much at stake. Mm. And at the end of it, were convivial. They were able to support their daughter as a freshman. Mm. They both checked her in. That is like my favorite story of all Absolutely. Time. Cause he was, I said, how you doing? And he said, we're doing great. You know, and you know, there was a lot there. There were a lot of assets there. There was a lot that we need to work through, but that's my favorite story. I took a little bit too much time on that, but that is great. One of my favorite stories of all time, being called out on a plane with a gentleman who wasn't happy initially. With the whole thing and wasn't really trustful of it and is just living life now. And they're both living life and raising their two children in a very good atmosphere.
That's a beautiful story, because life does change. Things do change, and it's never what one particularly wants.
Right.
But to be able to move through a transition like that and go through the stages of it, which is what I hear you really supported and helped them through, so that the parties come through on the other end. There's definitely painful spots,
yes,
and challenges, but coming through the other end where there's healing and wholeness and support, that is very much worth the time.
Absolutely.
So thank you.
No worries.
And I know that you personally have gone through some changes. Can you share just a little bit about your own divorce story and what brought you to this work?
Certainly. I'm very happy to do that. So for me, my previous marriage had a lot of negative data points with abuse and power and a lot of things that are just not conversant with a strong and healthy marriage. And I had not too long afterward given birth to my daughter, who is now 22. A few years into the marriage, I realized that was not where I needed to be. That is not where I want my daughter to be. It was a very painful realization for me, as I come from a very strong background of good marriages, solid marriages, mm-hmm. marriages have seen the test of time. So mm-hmm. For me to have to turn that clock off hit me on a lot of different levels, mm-hmm. on a self-esteem level, on a life level, and every other level. But through God's grace, I was able to make it through that. I was able to raise my daughter. But what I took from that as I entered back or attempted to enter back into the legal field was that I really wanted a divorce and separation to be a better space. And as I continued to raise her and continued to progress, I developed expertise as a business manager and CFO for a design firm in the San Francisco Bay Area. So I was gaining that financial knowledge. I was their CFO. And I also had all the knowledge that I gained over the years in the legal field, working in various capacities. I wanted it to be a better place. I wanted finances to be better. And I determined that I wanted to get trained to do that. And I sought that training almost 10 years ago, 11 years ago now, to really be able to bring that quality of work and quality of knowledge to this space, and to really have people walk away, as you said, not necessarily happy. Things are painful. Not necessarily feeling that things are fair, because fair is not an appropriate word to use, but just knowing that the best thing happened with the finances, that they're able to have the keys and the knowledge to move forward. That's what I was wanting to do. And so with my CDFA certification, that is what I do. And that is the genesis of my practice. And I love it.
So great, Karen. And I know that there's a lot more to your background and history, but I know our listeners can hear so much of your skill. And I'm thinking as you're talking that when somebody hires a professional rather than the university of the internet or just stewing on something on their own, mm-hmm. One is really connecting with a professional CFO, you know, that's a certified or chief financial officer, like right. one has in a corporation.
Right.
Take the skills for oneself. This is a really critical life decision.
That's right.
And to get the best information. So if somebody is listening, and for the woman considering divorce, as we wrap up, what would you recommend that they, what would be their initial concrete steps that they, do you recommend that they take?
Well, certainly I recommend that if you want to check some things out on the internet just to kind of get yourself grounded, definitely do that. But I would say that we're looking at two different sort of time frames here. We're looking at a situation where you've just heard about it and trying to grapple with it. And then you're also dealing with another situation where that's a reality. So mm-hmm. if you're in the arena where you're trying to grapple with it, I would say the first thing you'd want to do is, of course, acquaint yourself if you're not already acquainted. Secondly, I would say seek out a CDFA. In a consultation, it's well worth that time to just get the framework. Just understand what you need. You can go to the Institute for Divorce Financial Analyst and try to find one in your area. I get a lot of calls from folk accessing that database, of which I'm a part of. I would say that would be a key step for those who are kind of in that zone. And then also trying to think about what access to documents you have. Now, moving into the zone where you're actually there, that decision is made. You want to start concretely thinking about where all of your finances exist, in what form, where are they? Do you have access to that? You want to start making sure that you're aware of what's going on in terms of your finances, at least at a high level, starting to take a look at bank statements now, seeing where money is being spent, Because when you step to hiring whatever professionals are going to be in your space, mediators, CDFAs assisting those mediators, attorneys, if that is where you need to be, you're coming in full force and you know what's missing, what's not missing, and you're able to use the time for your professionals appropriately because divorce is expensive and you want to be able to use those funds in the best way. So those are some of the things I would say that should guide individuals.
And how do people find, you know, things so much is online.
Right.
How do they track down that information if they don't know and don't have access to the password and all of that?
That is difficult, but I think the initial thing is to find out what they do have access to. I tell people to try to work with what they can work with. Okay, so you're gathering what you do know or what comes in the mail or what is accessible. And then you start making a list of what you don't know. You may have an idea of where the investment accounts are at brokerage firm or what have you not. Just start making a list, really. Just sit down and start making a list. It's that simple. It's not a stressful thing. Just, you know, start putting red marks by things you're not sure of, you're not sure of balances or that sort of thing. And just bring that to a professional like myself. You know, we'll take it in whatever form you bring it, and then we will take it from there to determine what professionals you're going to need to make sure we get that. If we can't get that information voluntarily, then other steps need to be taken. But, you know, we can help you get there. We can help you figure out what you need to do and get there. So
that's great. Karen, thank you so much. I could always talk with you more, but I'm so grateful that you came in today to share all this really deep, critical knowledge and experience and enlighten people, because I do not think that there's a lot of awareness about certified divorce financial analysts. And as all of our listeners can hear, you really provide a great, great service. So thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome, Esther. It was great being here today. Really enjoyed it.
This was a fantastic podcast. I'll tell you, I just sat back and listened to you two go back and forth, and what a tremendous amount of great information. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate that. Thank you.
You bet. So, hey, your first guest appearance on Esther's podcast, you did great.
I know. Well, I hope so. And I hope people find some value in it. Thank you, my dear.
You are very welcome.
Thank you. I think they will for sure. And Esther, thank you for bringing her in.
And how can people reach you, Karen? We talked about the website.
Absolutely. So my website is divorcefinancialstrategist.com. You can also reach out to me by phone at area code 650-201-6311. And you can also drop me an email at cdfa@divorcefinancialstrategist.com.
Very good. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. And thank you all for listening to the Women in Wealth podcast with Esther Szabo. If you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, please click the subscribe now button below. This way, when Esther comes out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. This makes it much easier to share these podcasts with your friends and family. Again, thanks for listening today. For everyone at Gates Pass Advisors, this is Eric Johnson reminding you to live your best day every day. And we'll talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Women and Wealth podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you receive notifications of new podcasts as they become available. Check out the website at www.gatespassadvisors.com for more information. This content is developed from sources believed to be providing accurate information. The information in this material is not intended as tax or legal advice. Please consult legal or tax professionals for specific information regarding your individual situation. The opinions expressed and material provided are for general information and should not be considered a solicitation for the purchase or sale of any security.